today. I'm going to talk about compassion. I'm also going to continue to talk what we talked about, which is in the book of Acts, X factor. What is it that makes some people really attractive, even though they don't have the attributes to be on the cover of a magazine? Why is it that some people don't impress anybody in the weight room, and yet every team they're on, they tend to win? It's because they have the X factor, the intangible. The Bible tells us that all people who come into relationship with Jesus have his spirit, known as the Holy Spirit, that dwells in us and gives us capacities beyond what we normally have. It gives us an X factor. Today, you might have a capacity to feel something you might not have felt. You might have a capacity to do something you may not have been willing to do before. We're going to pray about that, and let's do that right now. God, I'm thankful for our morning, and I'm thankful for everyone who's a part of Crossroads, everyone who's here, whether they're in a coffee shop, a bar, a site in Kentucky, Ohio, wherever we are. We are thankful that, gosh, I hope no one's in a bar at this hour of the morning. But I thank you for who you are, what you've done. And I ask you to help me to be clear, to help your people to be helpful in your mission. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. You know, we talk about changing the world. Crossroads, we connect seekers to a community growing of Christ followers who are changing the world. We talk about changing the world. The truth is, individually, I don't think there's anybody here today that's probably going to change the world individually. Mother Teresa changed the world. Steve Jobs changed the world. Billy Graham changed the world. Us individually, you know, we're not going to change the world individually. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. You could do anything you want. No, you can't. You're not, as an individual, going to change the world. Sorry. But you could be a part of something that's changing the world. That's called the church that we see in the book of Acts. And individually, you might change a life. There might be a person who is different on this world and different after this world than you, than when you actually came in and impacted their life. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we see a picture of the early church. It's one of the passages in the Acts that's oftentimes given as a template for what a church looks like. The Bible doesn't talk about video screens and haze and LEDs and lights and staff structures and all that kind of stuff. Churches could use those things to accomplish the mission of God, but the book of Acts really knows nothing about those things. Here's what it does know a bit about. Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it says this: "And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as anyone had need." Some people take this as a proof text for nobody should have nice things. Nobody should actually own anything personally. It should all be communal, kind of an early nod to Karl Marx, except with some spirituality towards it. And I oftentimes was influenced by this thinking that's caused me oftentimes to feel guilty for nice things I have, abilities that I have. Recently, I went over to Israel to film a series that we're going to do this next fall. We've learned from you the favorite thing that we do is preaching series in Israel. So we got another one coming up this fall. It's gonna be pretty cool. But I had a really cool thing happen. On my way back, on my last leg, I got upgraded to first class from New York to Cincinnati. And it made me feel kind of guilty, you know, it really did. I don't buy first class. Crossroads doesn't buy me first class. In fact, for most of my life, when I walk by all you losers inside of first class, truth be told, I don't like you. I don't like you at all, because I've walked in first class much of my life. Walked by, go, all the money you could have saved the poor. Oh, aren't you real cool? We all should be first class. I went through a season of my life where I was like on equal fairsies socialism, where I was really judgmental and critical of people who did things I didn't do, had things I didn't have. And so I would have this judgment, everybody in first class, and now I'm like, I'm sitting in first class and people are probably doing the same thing to me. To which I say, ha, 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 you are a loser. I'm in first class, you aren't. No, I don't say that. Anyway, this idea of, hey, shouldn't we all have the same things, I thought was informed by the book of Acts, but it really isn't. The book of Acts is not saying that you can't earn own personal possessions. It's not saying that there can't be very wealthy people who also follow Jesus. Not saying that. What's happening here is during Pentecost, a high holy day in Jerusalem, all the Jews from the Roman Empire would come to Israel, and they need a place to stay. So what happened? You'd put people up in your house. People were sitting on top of one another. You had all things in common. People selling stuff to enable someone to eat. This is not saying that everybody has to not have any personal possessions. It's saying this, that your attitude towards other people of the faith should be that this is your family. Your attitude is not that you're like family. The Bible doesn't say if you're a follower of Jesus and you're like a sister or you're like a brother. The Bible says, Jesus says, you are my brother. You are my sister. In fact, even more so than people in my family of origin, there's a bond that's with us. And when you have a brother, a sister who's in need, a family member who's in need, what do? You do something about it. You don't just wish about it. You don't just pray about it. You don't just hope about it. You don't just cry about it. You actually do something about it. This was what the early followers of Christ were doing. They saw the people had needs, and they're actually doing something. They're pushing on it. Oh, about 20 years or so ago, I had an outside speaker come in to Crossroads and speak. And I knew he was a good speaker, so I brought him in. He came to a midweek service, a Wednesday night service. His name was Tony Campolo. He's an old Italian firebrand. Some people might know Tony. I just brought him in to bless the church with another voice and just kind of fire us up. And Tony came in, and he went after a passage in the Bible in a really, really fresh way. At the end of that, he had an application for an organization called Compassion International that I really had not done anything with. I don't think I had even heard of it. And that's when I got involved in this organization called Compassion International, where at that point it was like $38 a month, where I would give money every month and all of us could sign up for it. He didn't ask me, he just brought these forms and passed them out, and a bunch of us signed up, where for $38 a month, we could feed and educate a child for the rest of their life in a third world country. Crossroads has always cared about the plight of the poor. In fact, let me tell you something. You have an opportunity to sponsor a child through Compassion International. And if you don't, let me just say this. It doesn't matter if you do that or not today. There is a call on your life to care for the poor. And anybody who doesn't care for the poor doesn't care about God. You can talk all you want about God, you be care all that, but if you don't tangibly care for the poor and the needy, you're not caring for the thing that God cares about. That's why Crossroads has always cared for the poor. A significant portion of our budget goes to those who are in poverty. We have a portion of our budget that's benevolence for people who are committed to our church and financial hardship, and we have a fund, a budget item. We help people out financially, whether it's in central Kentucky, whether it's Cincinnati, northern Ohio, wherever it is. We're engaged in the poverty situation in our community. Fortunately, in America, when you are in poverty in America, generally, you still have access to food every day and an educational system, even though the educational system might not be as good as a more richy-rich educational system. There's still some things for you. In third world countries, those things don't happen. So for Compassion International, when Tony talked about this, like, oh, okay. Okay, so I could actually take care of somebody for the rest of their childhood. It's kind of crazy. Way back when it was $38, over 14 years, it's been 14 years since it's gone up to $43 a month. $43 a month, I can educate and feed a child until they're 18. That's like the best deal going. Why did the early church make sure nobody had needs who were in their midst? Needs, not wants, needs. Why is it that I wanted to do that? It's because the early church took their cues from Who do you think it is? Jesus. Yes, that's always the answer. Come on. You're in church. The answer to every question is Jesus. Let's give me another one. What has brown fur and a bushy tail? Jesus. There, good. You're getting this. It's not a squirrel, it's Jesus. That's always the answer in church. So Jesus is the inspiration for everything in the book of Acts, the Acts of the early church. And Jesus, in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, one of the last things he taught in the authorized biography of Matthew, according to Matthew, was he gave this story of two types of people coming before God, and God divides them into the sheep and the goats. He sends one to the right, who are the sheep, and he one's the left, who are the goats. Now, I was just, as I said, in Israel, and we did a shoot. We were supposed to have a shoot with sheep, but the person we hired didn't come with sheep. They came with goats, which is not bad, because when a sheep is shorn, the untrained eye really can't tell the difference between a sheep and a goat. You laugh. Obviously, you've never been to Israel. It's true. The trained eye can tell the difference. The untrained eye, really, they're about the same size, about the same dimensions, all that stuff. It's hard to tell the difference. So that's why I think Jesus is using this thing between sheep and goat. So off to the right goes a sheep. And the sheep go, hey, what am I doing over here? How come you're getting me close to you? And Jesus says, well, because when I was sick, you came and helped me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was hungry, you came and fed me. So that's why you're getting in heaven. That's why you're getting close to me. And the people go, like, they say, well, wait a minute. Wow, Jesus, we never seen you naked, in prison, hungry? And here's what Jesus says. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did you see us hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison or visit you? And the king will answer them, that's Jesus, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Jesus says, I take it personal. When you care for the people who are hurting, I take it personal. They're my brothers. They're your brothers. You're caring for me. And then he says, the people who go off the left, the goats, he said, you're going over here because when I was sick, you didn't care about me. When I was in prison, you didn't come visit me. When I was naked, you didn't come, give me clothes. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. And they're saying, whoa, what are you talking about? Whoa, if we had seen you naked or sick or in prison, what are you talking about? We didn't see you in that situation, Jesus. If we had seen you, we would have done something about it. And Jesus says this to them. He says, truly I say to you, as you did, this is verse 45, then he will answer, truly I say to you, as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. Jesus takes it personally how you and I encounter the poor. This is not a Pharisee financial situation that, according to God, this is not a theoretical thing. Do you care? Of course, who doesn't care for the poor, right? Everyone cares for the poor, right? We all care for the poor, meaning like, well, I hope they get better. I hope everyone does better. I hope everybody goes to bed with some food in their stomach. I mean, everybody emotionally cares for the poor. Jesus is telling us, you need to physically and financially care for the poor. In fact, if you're not physically and financially caring for the poor, you could almost say, God doesn't care about you. Because they go off to the left. This is Jesus' words, by the way. They go off to the left away from him. God takes it very personal how we interact with his children, who's his family, and who are our family. So when Tony gave a talk based like this, I was like, okay, I guess I should sponsor somebody because I want somebody in heaven speaking up for me. I want when I go to heaven or when I die, when I take my motorcycle straight on into a bread truck, like some people are going like, what happens if I get hit by a bread truck? Well, for me, it's a real possibility, right? So someday I'm going to die, and when I go to God, I'm going to go to God, I want to know who's standing up for me. Like, is this a precursor to what Jesus says, what God's going to be asking us? Is he going to say to us, okay, well, how did you take care of me? How did I take care of me? And the fortunately is, being a part of Crossroads, all of us who are tithers here at Crossroads, all of us will have people stand up for us. We just don't know who they are. All of us will. But I thought, I'd really love to have somebody go, Jesus right here. He fed me right here. I got this one covered. I can vouch for him. I saw this guy. I know him. Like, I figured I had to get somebody to speak for me. This is Jesus' word. So we signed up. We got this little guy by the name of Twill. Twill in Haiti, and Twill aged out of the program. And then we've gotten two children since then. We sponsor two. And by the way, I'm a empty nester. Lib and I are empty nesters in prime income earning years. God's blessed us very, very much. After this weekend, we're going to have three children. Three of them. Partly because they're my family, and I want to bless Jesus. And I bless Jesus by blessing people who are in difficult situations. And part of it is, I want some witnesses when I get to heaven. I want an amen corner when I get to heaven. I'm telling you, I'm one of these weird guys. I actually believe what's in the Bible. I know. There's not many of us left. Not only do I actually believe it, I do it. What? What? You actually read what's in the Bible, you actually believe it, and you bend your life around it. Yes. Everybody who has the X factor does this. Yes. This is not about being a nice person, what nice people do. It's not about checking off the religion box. No, it's about I want the X factor in my life, and I get that by honoring Jesus and honoring the Spirit. And that means when I have an opportunity to do something that Jesus would do, I do it. I do it. And so do you. So do you if you have the X factor. I got more to teach on this. Let me just say this ahead of time. $43 a month. Man, I tell you, the impulse decisions we make, many of us are crazy. Like many of us don't even look at our credit card statements because we don't want to get bummed out line by line. And we actually don't even know the things that are on there that get sucked out of our account every month. We don't even know, and yet it still happens. We pay for streaming services we never use. We don't even know all the streaming services we have. When we find out about a new one, we go, oh, I'll take that one too. And that's fine. We impulse those things all the time. When's the last time you impulse something where someone could actually live a longer, more healthy, more educated life? How often do we do that? We always got money for Hulu, for Amazon Prime, for Netflix, for Apple Plus, for whatever, highest speed internet possible, for Starbucks, for this, and all. And I'm not shaming any of us for having all those things. I have like all those things I mentioned and more. God's blessed me greatly. This is not about, we should not have nice things. It's not about that. This is about, will we make space in our finances for Jesus? Let me also say this. I know whenever someone gives a talk like this to me, there's a voice in your ear that's telling you to disqualify everything I'm saying. There's a voice that does not want you to get on the agenda of God and become generous. I know that. It's the way, because I'm like you, because I'm human. I don't like when someone talks about this stuff because I just want to be affirmed for what I'm currently doing. I generally don't want to be pushed to do something different. So one of the tactics of the enemy will be to tell us things like, well, Crossroads is doing this because, you know, they get these kickbacks from Compassion International. Compassion International pays Crossroads to do this, and Brian Tone probably gets a commission. And even if he gets like 50 cents off of $43, dude's raking it in up there. I mean, this very clearly. I get nothing from, I've never gotten anything from Compassion. I've gotten two pastor retreats, so I went and hung out with other pastors around the country. That's what I've gotten in 15 years. Two pastor retreats. I've gotten that. That was kind of cool. Meeting other pastors, brainstorming with them, all that stuff. I've never gotten anything from Compassion. Crossroads has never gotten anything from Compassion. I've heard other churches do. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe we're a bunch of losers, not sucking some for ourselves over here. I don't know what's going on. No, we've never, ever, 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 ever had anything from Compassion, never taken anything from Compassion. This is a matter of following the heart of God, following the will of God. When I first started with Tawil, and we started supporting Tawil, I didn't write him letters. Lib and I didn't write letters. We just thought, compassion, because, you know, I tend to be cynical. Maybe you are. We're like, it's all going to the same place the money is, and they're just giving us these individual children to be sort of a marketing ploy. And nothing wrong with marketing. God loves marketers. Nothing wrong with marketing. That's fine. But it's just a marketing ploy. The kids don't really know us. We're writing letters. It's no matter what happens, they don't care. It's fine. We'll just keep paying our money, and it's going to a good place and helping people. That's fine. And Twill aids out of the system. I don't think I wrote a letter the entire time. I think Lib did one or two, but I never did a single one. And Tawil would send us letters. I had the opportunity to do a compassion trip in Nicaragua and go see what's happening in Nicaragua. At that point, I had signed for another child. And we went, and I was utterly blown away what I saw. I saw the education. I saw binders inside of the school of all of the kids and their accomplishments, their whole history of the progress they're making with their education. I went in homes, and one home I went in had a big photo of an American family up on the wall. And big photo, very small one-room house, very similar to the houses you may have walked in when you came into a Crossroads site today. Very similar to that. And I asked the translator, I said, who's those people? What's up? There's a picture of a couple American people, white American people, like having drinks. They're like had like a margarita. It looked like in a restaurant overlooking the beach. They're going like. And I said, what's that situation? And I said, those were their sponsors. I said, what do you mean were? I said, well, they stopped sponsoring them. They dropped off, but this family still prays for them regularly. That's why the picture's still up there. So wait, they dropped off. Yeah, and they still pray for them. Yeah. So I went back and started doing some Facebook sleuthing. And I found them. Greg and Tessie, I found them. So won't give you last name. So I messed them out. I said, hey, I just want you to know. It's awesome. God's blessed you. Looks like you're taking some really great vacations. That's what it looks like on Facebook. Just want you to know. Bianca and Rudy, Bianca's Rudy's mom, they still pray for you. And you just dropped off. You probably should have said something. But don't worry about it. I'll cover them. I'll take care of them. Just thought I'd let you know that family's going to be taken care of while you take care of vacations. And then, for some reason, they didn't respond to me. I don't understand why. So I responded back again. Finally, I said, okay, I'm getting too much out of this. I got to stop. Here's all I'm saying. Friends, I'm saying this. Those kids know us. Those families know us. It's a literal lifeline. And there's not even, when all other kids in the family don't get sponsored, it still helps the family because they have one less mouth to feed. Lib and I went over a most recent time to Nicaragua, and we saw Rudy for the second time. Crossroads does go trips. We serve the poor in Cincinnati, in Lexington, other parts of the world. So when we were going over to do a Go Nicaragua trip, we stopped in and saw Rudy again. We hadn't seen him and Bianca for a few years. Here's what happened the last time we saw him.
Hola. Good to see you, Rudy.
Good to meet you, Rudy.
My wife, Libby.
My esposa, Libby.
Finally.
Good to meet you.
And this is for you as well.
Oh. Yeah, you can open it, he says as well.
Good.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. I always be grateful with you for everything that you've done for us.
If the world would have more people like you, it would be a better place. Your love changed my life, and it changed it for good, and your love made me to have hope and be happy tomorrow.
could do, brother. You're a good man. You're a good man.
Muchas gracias por todo lo que ha hecho por mí.
I feel very grateful for everything he's done for me.
Y que espero que algún día le pueda devolver ese favor.
And that I really hope that someday I can give him back everything he has gave to me.
We are telling you that you are loved and you are not forgotten.
Que ustedes son amados y son recordados.
God is going to do a great thing in your future. You need to have hope.
Dios va a hacer cosas grandes en su futuro y necesitan el hombre.
Good man.
So
good. Yes, you are. God will do a good thing and you need to do it right now. I'm looking at a young godly man.
Estoy mirando a un hombre joven de Dios.
I'm looking at a young godly man.
Estoy mirando a un joven de Dios.
Stronger than you could have any idea.
Son mucho más fuertes de cualquier idea que puedas tener.
God's going to do a big thing in you.
Dios va a hacer una cosa grande en vos.
Big thing.
Cosa grande.
I love you.
Y te quiero.
I'm proud of you.
Estoy orgulloso.
You're like my own son.
Sos como mi hijo.
Man, I don't know how many times I've seen that video. It still hits me so hard. I don't know if it's because seeing the impact of a family who's just thankful that you're alive, thankful for living my life. I don't know. It's just the emotion of like what we do for that relative to all that we have and all that we do and all that we own is so small. For us and where we are, I don't know what it is. It just is. Am I moved because I'm being like Jesus, and it feels good to actually be living the Bible. I don't know what it is, but I know it hits me deep every time. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, they talk about the local church. It says this, and there was not there, verse 34, Acts 4:34. And there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as anyone had need. It's risky for us to do this weekend. Very risky. We've said it many times, and people tend to not believe us. Crossroads operates on very thin margins. We have a big budget. We also have a lot of commitments. We operate on very thin margins. And we really can't afford people cannibalizing whatever giving they have at Crossroads. Like, oh, Crossroads is fine. They got LED screens. We got to pull away from here and stick it over here. We really can't afford that at all. But yet we do this regularly. Because we're willing to pay the price, and we're ready, and I'll say, I hope you all sponsor Compassion. I hope you all do, and I hope you all don't cannibalize your giving to Crossroads. And if you do, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But I think the capacity we have, if we want to be like the early church, is more than we think. These people are making sure people don't have needs because they sell things. They sell lands. These are people who have resources, have money. They're selling their land. They're selling things so that other people can live. Maybe I get emotional because I feel like in these moments we're maybe our purest as a church. Great music and half-decent talk. Wow, big deal. But man, when someone's life is different because of that, oh my goodness, wow. I think sometimes, I wonder, could God get Crossroads to the size it is right now? As a church, we are stronger right now than we've been in 26 years. I'll say it again. We are strongest right now than we have in 20. Forget all COVID and stuff. Your church right now is stronger than it's ever been right now. Could God have done all that he's done, amassed this many people, simply because God would say, someday there's going to be a bunch of people gathered in this thing called Crossroads, and that church is going to move my family to help other family members. That church is going to do that. And I wonder if this is all, if this is the apex of what we do, and we change thousands of more lives, literally change, and then we go out of business, I can live with that. I can live with that. And I hope that you can too. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna have each community pastor give logistics for what's gonna happen inside of your rooms. In a little bit, like a minute, we're gonna have bands are coming up, and we're gonna sing songs, and it's gonna be really cool and festive. And in your rooms, you're going to go and you're going to get one of those packets. That's a real child, and that would be the child that you sponsor. It'll be the child that you can have a letter-writing conversation with if you'd like. That's the child. And then you're going to come back to your seat. And you're going to write your first letter. It can be just like three sentences right there. You do have your information. And you're going to take the photo you got when you came in today. You're going to take that photo. Compassion's so good. They work with us. We push their boundaries all the time. We were the first. We had the largest single day thing in Compassion's history a number of years ago. And they said, well, what, you want the real packet up on the back walls? I said, yes, can you do that? Yeah, we'll do that. Now they're saying, hey, we really would love to take these pictures because a bunch of years ago, we had a partner in South Africa. A bunch of years ago, we realized that we're in spiritual poverty while they're in financial poverty. And we sent them over photos. All of our photos were on their huts, and they prayed for us. And this is the service where they got those photos. We'd like to do something like that right now. Could we actually send over our photos so everybody who gets sponsored, our photo is in their thing, so they're praying for us? We're not just, you know, helping out somebody because we're the superior ones. No, we're all in God's family. So maybe they could have our picture too, and they could pray for us too. Some of you are going to want to look cool. You are. I know you. You want to look cool. You want to go back there. You want to just look like I'm doing the thing. You're going to go get a packet. You're going to come back, and then you're not going to do anything. Let me tell you, if you take a packet to look like, you know, you're cool and you care, what happens as soon as you take that packet, Compassion goes, oh, this person is done. They're out of the system now. Whether you make your first commitment or not, they're out of the system, and they will not be able to the system, and they will go hungry. So if you want God to send you straight to hell, take one of those packets. It's worse. You're not even going to the left as a goat. You're specifically making so nobody else can get that person. My gosh. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you don't get up to go get a packet, we're just going to assume you've already got 5 kids. Okay? We're gonna assume you already got 5 kids, or we're gonna assume you're really, really stretching it and you already have 1 kid. Okay, we're gonna assume that. Please, if you go get one, come right back, and then we're gonna drop them off and we leave at the end of our time, our service. One more thing. I know there's one more thing, I just forgot it. There is one more thing. What is my one more thing? There is, hold on just a minute. This is a very spiritually weighty moment, and I feel like I'm forgetting something, and I'm not thinking right. Hold on. When you go get that child, just assume the one that God guides you to is the one it is. Just grab it, grab that child, come back. If there's a log jam and people can't get to wherever that child is or wherever those packets are in your building, they might, I'll get it later, and they might just drop off. So when you go see one, just grab it immediately. Let me pray for us, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do in our rooms. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go get Jesus. What we're going to do? We're going to get Jesus. Those things are Him. Those children are Him. That's who they are. We don't have a lot of goals here at Crossroads. We don't have attendance goals. We don't have budget goals. We have a budget. We don't like, this year we want to hit this. We don't have a lot of goals around here. I have a goal for this weekend. If we hit 5,100 kids, we will take care of every child in Nicaragua that Compassion has, all of them. We'll just bless the entire country. 51, I want 5,100. Who wants 5,100? Who wants it? Lib and I are blessed. We are. We're going to take another child this week. And I ask you, man, just take care of one of God's kids and take care of your future. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to partner with a great organization like Compassion. And God, would you watch what your children do right now? And I mean the children in all of our rooms right now. Watch what we do right now, would you honor those who are trying to honor you? Amen.
I think we'd all say we want God to use us, right? And I think we'd all say we want to change the world. Hey, there are moments where you can say yes to that, where that can not just be an idea, but it can be something you live into. I don't know what I expected when I heard about compassion. I don't know what I thought it was that they actually did. I thought it was, you know, useful. It was helpful. But I'll tell you, I couldn't have been more wrong or more undersold this. A few months ago, I got to visit Nicaragua and visit and meet the girl that I've been sponsoring, Natalie, getting to see where she lived, getting to see the way that she grew up in circumstances that by anyone's standards would be considered extreme poverty, and how she has hope for the future, how she believes something about herself and the potential that's available to her because someone thousands of miles away said, yes, I want to be a part of your story. That's what we're signing up for. It's not just to send money. It's to sign up for a relationship. It's to sign up to be a vote of confidence and faith and trust that, man, there are bright futures ahead for this kid. So don't tune out. Don't check out. Instead, lean in. Say yes to God using you. This is personal for me. I want to see tens of thousands of kids' futures changed because a group of people called Crossroads said yes. So, if you're feeling any sort of tug, I want you to lean in. Head to crossroads.net/compassion. Right there on the screen, you'll see the button that just says sponsor. Once you click on that, you're gonna have the chance to look over the names and faces of thousands of kids who you can help support, who you can help encourage, who you can write with regularly and tell them who they are and that the future for them is bright, because it is, and because it can be. When you and I step in, when you and I lean in to help see transformation and new hope come to families in Central America.
Now it's ended in the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of light, forever under your dominion. You're the king of my life, you're the king of my life, is what we're saying. You reign above it all, you reign above it all. And over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. On the cross, the work was finished. God, you poured out your life just to give us new life. Now from the lips of the forgiven, in our hands, hear an anthem arise, 'cause Jesus, you're alive, yes, you are. You reign above it all, you reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, oh, there is no higher name, no. Jesus, you response to what you've done, who you are, 'cause you sent the darkness running out of an empty grave, now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. you sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. Lord, we respond to you right now. And say, Lord, send us out as light carriers to carry your life and your hope with us. Put into action these words. You said, oh, you sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. Oh, you sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. Oh, you sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. 'Cause you reign above it all. You reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart. And there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. So let all of heaven and the earth erupt in song. We sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. And there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. You reign above it all.
So good to see. Blank spots on the walls where I am. That's why I love being a part of our church. That's why I love being in ministry with you. We don't, again, just think about things. We do things. That's great. So will you bring that back? Make sure you write it down. If you only give a couple sentences for your very first letter, that's okay. Make sure as you put it in, you do all the information, seal it really well, because if your photo or something falls out, then you know we can't do anything about that. Compassion is changing their systems. This is good, friends. This is actually when we are the body of Christ. This is when we act as family toward our family. Why don't we all stand again? And we got another song here, right? We got a song. We got another little time. So let's sing here, and then when we're done, on your way out, you'll drop those things off in the containers in the atrium. All right. Let's thank God for allowing us to be part of this right now.
Let's sing this together. You reign. You reign above it all. You reign above it all. We surrender to you. And over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. So let all of heaven and the earth erupt in song. We join with them. We sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. There is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Let's sing this, sing holy. There's no one like him. No one before him. And so God, right now we seal this moment to say in my heart, I want no one else on your throne. I want no one else on the throne of my heart. That all I do, whether it's with my hands, my mouth, my feet, my bank account, I want it all to be response to who you are. Sing holy. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show.
Thank you. There was a video that I was going to show in my talk, and I thought I was more pinched on time than I was. Maybe we could play this while you just play in the back, see if our video guys can get it up. This is a video, and this is meant as encouraging. This is what's going to happen with you and your children. This was, gosh, 6 years or so ago. We had somebody found out that they were going to a part of South America or Central America where their child was. So they told them, hey, I've got this backpack. Would you check it as luggage? Would you take the backpack and find my child, and Compassion help with this, find my child and give them this backpack. I just want to bless them. And somebody there had a camera, and they took a video of the girl who had gotten this backpack, who'd been in communication with her sponsor. And I want to maybe show this as a sign of the impact that you're about to have. Let's roll that right now if we could.
Hello, dear Victoria.
Gracias por estos regalos que me han mandado.
Thank you for the gift that you sent
que
me.
Dios derrame bendiciones sobre tu familia.
May God pour many blessings in your family.
Gracias por ser mi compañera.
Thank you for being my sponsor and a friend for me.
Señor, te bendiga.
May God bless you. May God bless you and your family.
Que Señor derrame muchas bendiciones sobre tu familia.
And may God pour many blessings in your family. I love you very much.
Que pase una feliz Navidad.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Tu familia.
Have a Merry Christmas with your family.
Llena de salud.
Full of health.
Gracias.
Thank you.
It's pretty amazing. You're going to have children having that reaction when they hear your name. Am I trying to pull heartstrings? Maybe a little bit. I don't make no apologies. I'll do whatever I can to get you to honor the will of God. I'll do whatever I can to get you out of your American doldrums of justifying your current. I'll fight for those kids, and we will too. We will too, and it's an honor and it's a blessing to do that. Let's sing this right now, and then you're released whenever you want, and drop those packets off. Thanks for being part of our team.